Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network, a place where mothers and daughters come to nurture their relationships. How is your mother-daughter relationship? If you're not living your best mother and daughter relationship, welcome to the show. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Now, here's your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, or you can just call her Dr. Bessie.
Good morning. This is Dr. Bessie here at the round table with mothers and daughters around the world. Another beautiful day. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I tell you, wow, every day is just awesome. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Doing this thing called life. I tell you, I wouldn't do it any other way, wouldn't have it any other way. I don't care about a few difficulties because what? It makes us strong. It makes us get closer to our Father. Again, good morning. I have good news. God speaks to mothers and daughters around the world. That's good news. Around the world. And we're thinking that the internet was just created for games and let people know what you're eating, where you're going to, on vacation, you know, bragging rights. You know, a lot of people just look at it as bragging rights. And let me show off, you know, just want some rewards for man. Just let me put it out there so that they can see who I am. But then, really, the internet is even a greater tool than that. God allowed the internet to be created so that he could reach his children around the world. I do believe that. I believe it was created for the greater good. And, of course, everything that God creates for the good, Satan turns around and tries to emulate it in some way and create something to have a distraction, some discouragement from actual purpose of good that it was created in. He will duplicate what God has created because he can create nothing. So, yes, the internet, being able to sit where I am today and being able to reach mothers and daughters around the world, that is a creation of God. Think about it. If he didn't want it to be, he would not allow it to be. But I think when God allows something to happen, he's not doing it, not think, I believe. He's not doing it for Satan. He's doing it for the greater good, for his children. So when we come on Saturday morning, Cynthia and I, and we sit here and we're talking, you know, we're not doing it to get a reward for man or show out or look at us. No, you. The only place that you're going to hear us is here on this radio, on Blog Talk Radio, and then you will hear it as it is broadcast through other venues that we post the message on, so we can reach as many mothers and daughters as we possibly can. But it's not for a show, and it's not for monetary gain. The focus is on letting the Lord use us to speak through us, to send a message out. Where it goes, it's out of our hands. The way I look at it, it's like the wind. You can feel the wind, but you don't know from where it came, and you don't know where it's going. It just, you feel it as it passed. Isn't that amazing? You can't see the wind, But as it passed you, you could feel it. So you don't know if it's going or is it coming, but you know it's not staying. So with the internet, you can feel the transition. This is a transformation of actually being able to minister to mothers and daughters around the world. And I get amazed with that. I get amazed. I'll never forget, my grandson was small, and he was probably about 6 years old, and he said to me, he said, Nene, he said, how does an email work when you can just write someone and click it, and then they just get it? How does it get there? You know, and that was too deep for me to answer, and it's still too deep for me to answer. I said, baby, I don't have the answer, but I know what they, if I write it, click it, the person will say, oh, I got it. Just like that. And that was amazing to him, and it brought to my mind, yeah, wow. Look at God. We are faster than light almost in some of the things that God has created for us. And he's saying, use these things to help me rescue the lost, the ones that don't even know about Jesus. And most people, you know, they wouldn't even think that there are millions and millions of people that's never heard about Jesus, never heard the gospel. Because we live in this world where there are churches and people interacting and talking about God, and you're looking at it on television. There are places where there's no television. There's the, they call it the 1040 window. I mean, it's just they're out there, and they don't know. Can you imagine? Just imagine that. That's what we talked about last week, about imagination, imagining. Just imagine that there's a group of people that never heard about Jesus. We are responsible to get a message to them. We are responsible to touch as many mothers and daughters as we humanly possibly can and remind them of who God is and how good God is and why Jesus came and that he loved them. And the ones that we don't talk to, we should live a life that people can see the love of God in our actions. And that's my belief on it. I try to live according to that. And he's not asking you to be perfect mothers and daughters. He's just asking you to do your very best. And whenever you stumble, believe in him. Believe in him. Come to him. Ask him. And I guarantee you, if you believe and ask, you will receive. I'm telling you, I live it every day. Every day. So, let me go to the switchboard. And here, see, Cynthia, good morning.
Good morning. How are you, Dr. Fletcher?
Oh, I'm good, girl. I'm good.
Good job.
Good. Thank God.
Good job, honey.
Wonderful
day. All is well. Yeah, it is a wonderful day. It's raining here. It's been raining here all morning, but it is still yet a beautiful day. I've actually been able to move back into the office. I finally bought a desk chair, and so I'm just looking out over the golf course, and it is absolutely beautiful despite the rain. And it's a beautiful morning to be about God's business, and so I've been at it since about 7:30. So I am working my little push off. It's about 7:30, moving towards that final project, our capstone project for graduation. So I'm excited. Just want to see the change that we are working so hard to see in the correctional facilities, Dr. Fletcher. And I'm excited. I'm excited today. I'm just excited about being about our daddy's business. About being about his business. Nothing else really matters. If we ain't about his business, it don't matter.
It won't add up to
nothing. By the way. Exactly.
Yeah.
And that is scripture, by the way.
Yeah.
Everything else will fall by the wayside. Nothing else matters unless you're about his business. And I am just so pleased as punch that he partnered you and I to do such a task. And you spoke on it very briefly in your introduction. You know, it's all about him and what we've been called to do. It ain't about hoopla and fame and fortune. Yeah, we want it, but, you know, we have come to realize that it's not about us, but it's about what he would have us to do. And I am so glad of that. If he allows it, hey, that's all. That's just the icing on the cake. But if he doesn't allow it, we're going to go on and do what he's called us to do. Because, matter of fact, I was talking to one of our students yesterday, and she was asking what's next. And I was like, you stated earlier, I can't answer that question. I don't know what's next. I just know that God has given us a task, and we are doing this pilot project, and we have to leave it in his hands. It's out of our control as to what's next with it. And so we're just going to do our part. We're going to keep moving forward, and we're going to see how he allows it to unroll and unravel.
Mm-hmm.
And so it has to be for the good if he has called us to such a task, and because it's tedious from time to time. And but you know what? Because he has partnered you and I up, you know, despite the fact that it gets tedious, we are here to stay. And that has been proven over the last 19 years that we've been together, Dr. Fletcher. So all is well. All is well.
Yeah.
All is well.
Well, would you like to give us a quick prayer, give us a prayer?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. Wouldn't. Dear Father, we come before you as humble as we know how, just thanking you, Father God, for this is the day that you have made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. And Father God, I just thank you for choosing Dr. Fletcher and myself for such an awesome task. We thank you, Father God, for our students that are sticking and staying, Father God. We pray that each and every one of them, as they journey out of corrections, that they will stay focused and stay on task. We pray, Father God, that they will be a prime example of your power and what you can do for those who seek wisdom and knowledge and understanding. We pray, Father God, that each one will be a testimony to what you can do. We pray, Father God, that as we continue this journey, we will just focus on what it is that you would have us to do with it and not about what we want to do with it. Keep us focused, Father God, not only the students, but Dr. Fletcher and I, as we continue to move forward. We thank you, Father God, for all our supporters, our community partners, one by one, name by name. We thank you, Father God, for what's to be and what has been done. And as we move forward, we pray that you will give us a steadfastness like never before. And despite the tediousness sometimes, we are so glad that you chose us. And with that, I say amen, amen, and amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yes, it does get tedious, but you know what? It's a part of that growth. Stretch you out. Give you test you on your patience and your love and your willingness to be obedient and believe what he says, that at the end, I got you. You know, don't worry about it. Just trust me. So here we are. We are in the middle of the journey. Let's keep it moving. All right, I'm going to go into a couple words that he has placed in my heart, and then I'll come right back to you, Cynthia. Thank you so very, very much.
You're very welcome.
Yes, audience, you know, when I thank God for Cynthia, I tell you, man, I've worked with a lot of people. But I can tell you one thing, if she tell you she's going to do it, it's going to get done. And I can, and you know, it's hard for me to trust a lot of folk. I'm just putting it out there. But one thing, if she tells me it's going to be done, I don't have to be there. I know it's going to be done. She knows we have basically similar styles. So we always, you know, it's just amazing. It is amazing. God knew exactly what he was doing. And I just thank God for her because, ooh, I feel like sometimes I probably would have wilted up and on the wayside, you know. But he always sends you someone to keep you going. I feel like he sent me to Cynthia to keep her going. I feel like he sent her to me to keep me going because he knew that we would have to prop each other up on our leaning side every once in a while. Because every once in a while when you're leaning, you know, you got to depend on God. But see, Jesus said, you know, he will send someone, and the Holy Spirit is there. But you need someone just to remind you, he got you. You know, that's the only thing we can do is just remind each other of the word of God and to keep our faith up so that we won't doubt. And because it's so easy to doubt, so easy to doubt. And that's not what we want to do. So in order, if you got your good praying partner, I love my daughter. We pray, we talk, we agree. In the mornings when she's going to work, in the evenings when she comes back, drive time is our time. And we get a lot in, praying for people, you know, talking about God. And it just, and I'm blessed. I'm blessed. I have two people that I can just call and I know it's there. Cynthia and Angie, I can just put it out there and they got it. And they, you know, I don't have to worry about it going nowhere. You know, it's just, you just need to have someone, you know. And, of course, there are other people, too. I don't want anybody to think that. But I'm just saying those are my go-to right now persons that I can reach basically all the time. So, you know, if you don't have that, ask God to bring somebody in your life, a godly person, a person that can help you build your faith and keep you strong. Because the human part of us will want to do as the world does and what we see in the world and the fame and the fortune of the world and wanting to be like someone else and why do they have it all good and money to spend, cars and houses and, you know, all that looks good. But on your journey, you'd rather not have those things and get to heaven as opposed to having them and going to hell, you know, because things, if not used properly, received properly in the heart, it's all about where it is in your heart. Are you worshiping them? Are you depending on them? Are they building your ego to the point where you think that you're better than other people? Those things will take you straight to hell because then you're judging, you're condemning. It'll make you do all the things that God don't want you to do. And sometimes when we think that we need to have these things, God is doing us a big favor by saying, no, you're not ready for it. Because if I give it to you now, I'm going to lose you. I'm working on something with you. So just because I don't just dump it, because he can dump wealth into your lap in a blink of an eye. Just because he doesn't do it when you think he should do it, think about it. It's because he's got greater plans for you. And he want to make sure that you are ready. It's not God. You're not waiting on God. God waiting on you to be ready because he'd rather not give it to you than to lose you to hell because of something that he gave you. Think about it. Why would he give you something knowing that it's going to take you straight to hell? No, you're not ready for it yet. But I got it, and it's yours. And when you're ready, you can receive it because how often do you see people come into wealth and they change on you? They will change. You're like, who is this person? Wow, hasn't she changed? And I always say, Lord, don't give me anything that's going to change me, that's going to take me away from you. And maybe that's why, you know, I'm slow to receive. He's got a lot of training for me to do, and I can feel the training. I feel it. I feel the transition now because I'm in a different place. So each of our journeys are different. They're all individualized. What I do will not work for you. What you do will not work for me. The only thing that we can do together that will work every time is to seek the word of God and do it. Don't just seek it. Don't just read about it. You got to do it. And it's in the doing that the blessings flow. And we base our mother and daughter roundtables on Ezekiel 16:44, where God says, as is the mother, so is the daughter. And that is such a true statement. It's such a true statement. And if you go to Ezekiel 16:44, read 16:42, 43, 44, and 45, just to get a good feel of what he's saying. Yeah. It may sound like it's rough and bad and tells you the evil things, but think about the whole Bible. The whole Bible tells you the rough side of the mountain stories, always telling you how it was, how bad a person, the bad it, that the person demonstrated and how Jesus turned it around. Just when they decide to accept Jesus Christ, he turned it around. So that's the same thing you're going to see, you know, the mother and the daughters fighting against each other. And God is saying, you know, mother, you created this monster. You know, she watched you. You're the one. So then when you really decide, okay, I done all I can do. I done ran the street. I done hit the clubs and dropped it like it was hot and picked it up and heat it up and warm it up and drop it again. She's watching you. So then when you get saved and you're walking around with your white robe on and your halo over your head, then you want your daughter to be in the same manner, walking with a white robe and a halo. But see, she hasn't gotten it yet because she still remember you dropping like it was hot, and she's out there dropping like it's hot, and you want her to not. No, don't do that, I'm telling you. But what? You set up the game, and she's just playing it out. So it's going to take prayer, love, a lot of honest conversation to get her to see another image of you. Because then if you have on the white robe and you have the halo and you're still acting like you was when you was dropping like it's hot, she's going to be very confused. You go to church, you're one person, you come home, you're cursing like a sailor and talking, and she's watching, and talk and gossiping, she's watching. No, you're not. No, you haven't changed. You do that when you get to church. So as is the mother, so is her daughter. Just wanted to put that out there. We are responsible for the outcome of our children, regardless of what anybody say. God gave them to us as mothers 9 months. We need to bond with them. And you choose what's going to happen in that 9 months. Because when that baby enters the earth, the temperament of that child is going to be from the temperament of who you were during the 9 months. Again, I'm your host. I'm Dr. Bessie Fletcher here at the Round Tables with mothers and daughters around the world. And you can reach us here at 347-539-5078 to listen to the show. Click 1 if you want to join in on the conversation at any time. When I'm on the switchboard and see you when we start talking, I will definitely call you in. Don't be ashamed. Just call in. Just say, you know, don't be afraid. Just, it's an open conversation. Our email, our website is mdbn.org. You can go there to listen. You can go to blogtalkradio.com and listen. You can email me at drbessie1@gmail.com. That's D-R-B-E-S-S-I-E, the number 1@gmail.com. Our stimulating topic this morning is mothers and daughters. When you see it, do you believe it? Sit back and relax, get your pen and your favorite drink, and we're going to go into this discussion. It's amazing. It's all about good news. God speaks to mothers and daughters. And by the way, you can go on our website and order the book at mdbn.org, at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, any of the major bookstores, published by layoutagency.com. Our stimulating topic again, mothers and daughters, when you see it, do you believe it? Now, last week we talked about, our topic was mothers and daughters, just imagine. It was a very interesting conversation. It was so good that Cynthia and I had to call each other after the show to continue that conversation. Because we can see the movement of God's hand in the conversations on Saturday morning. Sometimes it's just, I'm just like, oh, Holy Spirit, that was awesome. You know, it reminds me this morning when I was thinking about that, and it just came in my spirit, like, you know, you hear a preacher say, I'm preaching my own self happy. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit speaks through me on Saturday morning, I'm happy. I can feel I'm preaching my own self happy because I'm learning so much. I'm being awakened just like you in the message. That's all we're doing is tapping into your consciousness and your subconscious mind just to awaken you to the Word of God. And it's amazing how He delivered. I never worry. I get up on Saturday morning and I never worry because I know He's going to do an excellent job, and it's not me. I don't have to worry about what I'm going to say. Oh, man, it's just amazing. So last week he was talking about just imagine, using your imagination, your mind's eye, your thoughts that are in your head, you know, just imagine. It says a man without vision, you know, he will perish. You know, what does it mean to imagine something? You know, it's to make believe, you know, to dream. And Mark 11:24, it says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe. This is the key word today. Believe that you receive it, and it will be yours. So we're going to take that into a continuance of this conversation with a subtitle to it saying, Mothers and Daughters, when you see it, do you believe it? I like that title. I didn't come up with it. I thought, that's good. And usually God will say, yeah, I know, because I'm God. You know, look at you being amazed with me. You know, but I'm telling you, it's like, wow, look at you being amazed with me. Mothers and daughters, when you see it, do you believe it? Now, last week, like I said, we talked about the importance of using your imagination. How are we made in the image of God, our Father? How are we made in that image? To bring some connections to that statement, remember when you had your baby and you were so proud to show her off to your family and your friends? And the first thing that most people say when they look at your baby, you know, they identify with her image. You know, they always, the first thing is what most people say is, she looks like, you know, because they want to make you feel good. She looks just like her father. She looks just like her mother. Look at her. She looks just like you. I've never heard anybody say, well, she don't look like nobody. She don't look like, well, no. You know, they don't, I haven't ever heard anything like that. But you probably never heard anyone say, wow, she looks just like our Father God. Anybody out there ever heard that? Please let me know. I've never heard anybody say, wow, she looks just like our Father God. Why? Because no one has ever seen God, our Father. No one has ever seen him. So they don't have an image of what he looks like to even say that. But does it matter? Jesus told us that we are made in his image. Now, do you believe that? See, do you believe it? That's the key word. What do you believe? Because what you believe is what you receive. That's going to create your life experiences. Then why don't you hear someone say, wow, she looks just like our Father God? Why don't you hear that? Can you believe when you look into a mirror that you are looking into the eyes of our Father God? Can you believe that? It's kind of hard for most people to do that, because especially when you had a night out and you know you've been wrong, you know you was out of order, you know you've been somewhere with someone that you shouldn't have been with, and to look in the mirror in the morning and thinking, I'm looking in the eyes of God, that would just be like overwhelming for most people because of the shame and the doubt. You don't want to look in the mirror and say, oh, my God, I'm looking in the eyes of God. Now, try it sometime. Look in the mirror, and I do it quite often, and I speak to God by looking into my own eyes. It is a sobering experience, a humbling experience, spiritual connected experience. Just look into your eyes in that mirror and get the reflection back on you, knowing that you are looking in the eyes of God Almighty. Do you believe that? Okay. If you can believe that, you will see God. When you look at you, you are looking at God. I remember the first time I got that awareness, it's been years and years ago, I was listening to Keith Moore. And Keith said, I can imagine when I get to heaven and I look up in the face of the Father. I said, wow, he looks like me. He's going to look just like each and every one of us because he's the mirror, and whatever we look at in that mirror, we're going to see us. Can you imagine God of many faces? His images are transparent. It's everlasting because he's the mirror. He's going to be the reflection of you. Michael Jackson made the song, The Man in the Mirror. People probably don't realize how deep and spiritual that song really is because the beat is so great. Everybody's dancing to the beat. But his message was the man in the mirror. Go back and listen to it sometime. The man in the mirror is a reflection of you. And that's why most people can't look themselves in the face when they know they're out of order. They try to stay out of the mirror. They don't want to look into their own eyes because when they look into their own eyes, they reveal their heart and their soul comes before them. If you want to know who you are and you want to know, Mother, who you're being before your daughter, look in the mirror. And I'm not talking about just look in the mirror and walk off. I'm not talking about looking in the mirror to make sure your makeup is in place and that your eyeliner is right and your lipstick is good and looking in the mirror because you're now getting ready to impress the world and look for your accolades of, wow, you look good today. Look how beautiful you are. No, I'm talking about looking in the mirror and feeling your soul, examining who you really are. How do you feel about yourself when you look in the mirror, knowing that the face that you're looking into is the face of God staring right back at you? That's deep. Do you believe that? If you're saved, you had to believe to be saved. You had to believe what Jesus said. So if he said, and he's a man that can't lie, that you made in the image of the Father, if you believe him to be saved, your salvation, then you must believe everything else he said. So you must believe that you look just like the Father. You made in his image. Now, if you're not saved, I'm sure it's even harder for you to believe what I'm saying to you. So to get saved is to believe that Jesus Christ is the living Son of God and that he sacrificed his life for you, that you may be free from sin, that you may live a good, healthy life in abundance, and that you will live with him in heaven forever. And you repent. You have to first repent and believe what Jesus said. Now you're saved, and then now you become a member of the kingdom family. But if you believe that, you have to believe everything else he said. Because once you repent and you ask Jesus to come live in your heart and you accept him as your Lord and Savior, the angels are rejoicing for you. They're rejoicing because what? You have come home. You're like the prodigal son. You have come home and they're happy. Do you believe that? See, it's all about belief because believing is your faith. A lot of times people say, well, how do I know how to get enough faith? That's such, I don't know. How do I know? I heard that you got to have as much faith as a mustard seed, you know, and I look at a mustard seed and I got more faith than that. I went through that for years. I used to have mustard seeds just on everything. I'd take a mustard seed and tape it on my phone. I'd take a mustard seed, tape it everywhere in my car, and I look at just to look at it and say, okay, I know I got that much faith, so, you know, I'm believing. Because a mustard seed is very small, but a mustard seed can create multitudes of plants. But it's all about believing. And it's not about what you want to select to believe. It's about believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and he came to deliver the message from our Father God, and we are to believe what he said. So with your imagination, you can imagine all types of things. And the things that you imagine that are not godly will come to you seem as if it's quicker than lightning. It just pew. You can imagine some evil, it'll show up at your door before you know it. You're trying to believe something good, you're struggling because what? You really don't believe. You have some doubt. Do you believe that God is God? Do you believe that Jesus is Jesus? Do you believe that he came to do what he said he came to do? Do you believe those things? Because all of that makes up what God said and what Jesus came to say and how we, you know, how we get saved. It is so easy to forget God's presence and power when we face uncertainties and difficult times. You know, our faith falters and we doubt that God is with us. Sometimes we're even doubting that he is a real God, he's who he say he is, or would he be with us when we're struggling with our unbelief? You know, do we believe his word will work like he say it's going to work? When you're going through, that's the challenge. That's the temptation. Because what? The enemy is going to talk to you through your intro conversations, and his job is to steal. To steal. Okay, let's look at the first one, to steal. His job is to steal your belief. He can't steal the word. The word is the word, and the word is going to be the word throughout eternity. But his job is to steal your belief. And how does he steal your belief? By telling you something just to put a doubt. Are you sure? Well, I remember when Mary's husband was going through that. He had cancer, and they were believing, but he died. So, are you sure that you're healed? And then you go, well, yeah, that did happen. Bump, 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 bump. Wrong answer. Because, see, now you've already connected with doubt. He just want to say something. That's why you can be on trial, and you can have 12 people, but you can have that one person out of the 12 that says, well, you know, I'm not sure. Hung jury. Hung jury. That one person, that one doubt stops 11 other people, even when they are 100% sure and connected and agree, that one person. That's why the attorneys look to find that one person that they can get, put a doubt in their mind. Because if they ever go, well, that's the word, well, okay. So that's what he comes. He comes to steal your belief. And when he steals your belief, he kill it. Because then he's going to bring someone, something on television, the news, the radio, whatever, he's going to bring something to hammer that thing home. To really, because he got you now. He got you lame. He already stole the belief. So you lame now. You weak. And then now he's going to bring his hammer in because he's going to beat you down. He's going to kill you with it just to destroy your faith in the word of God. Now, I hope you get this. Because mothers, if you can get this, and no. When he said, do you really believe that? Yes, I do. God cannot lie. And then you get you some scriptures, and then you just go at him with the word of God. And I looked up some, and I was looking this morning. It's like Acts 16:31. They replied, believe in the Lord Jesus, and you will be saved. You and your household. See, you and your household. So if you believe, mother, in the Lord Jesus, you're going to be saved and your household, son or daughter, because that son is going to be able, going to help create another family. We talk about mothers and daughters, but we also know that a mother can really mess up a son. You can spoil him rotten. You can make him think that he don't have to clean up, he don't have to cook, he, you know, you wash his clothes, you fold him up, you bring him in, you fix his food, you hand it to him. You're raising up a little monster, because when he marries someone, a woman done trained her daughter how to treat her husband, but you have not trained your son how to treat his wife. Now they're not equally yoked, and they're trying to make something work. He wants her to wait on him like you waited on him. We think that we're helping, but that's not. That's hindering the child from growing up being the best that they could be. Because what happened if the son happened to lose his wife? Who's going to cook for him? Who's going to wash his clothes? And God forbid, if he has children, he wouldn't even know how to feed them, because what you have set him up for failure. And then you go to Matthew 11:1, it says, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and the assurance of what we do not see. See, it's all about faith. Keep in mind, believing is faith. You cannot have faith without believing. And you cannot believe if you don't have faith. It's like when you see Jesus, you hear from Jesus, you hear from the Father. And when you hear from the Father, you heard from Jesus. It all works together. It's built around faith. And then Matthew 11:6 says, and without faith, it is impossible to please God. And that's one that stands out in my mind too. Without faith, it's impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe, remember that's our key word, believe that he exists and that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. So if you're seeking God, that means you're believing that you're going to find answers. Anything that's going on in my life, I start seeking God. I start asking the questions. I start talking to the Holy Spirit. I need some help here. Can y'all help me? Because I don't know how to do this. Just be vulnerable. Just, I don't know, because you don't know. That's why he calls us children. The world has us thinking that you're an adult and you're supposed to know everything and you're a senior citizen. Oh, my God, forbid if you don't know everything as a senior citizen. But in the eyes of God, we are still children. We are children. That's all we are. Children. I'm going to read one more, maybe two more. Isaiah 40:31 says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. Because if you're weak and you're struggling and you're trying to figure something out, you know, if you just hope, if you have hope and believe in God, you're going to get strength. You're going to get the strength to keep going. And it says that you will soar like the wings of like an eagle, and you will run and you will grow not weary. And that you will walk and you will not faint. You will not faint. That means you will not stop. You will keep it going. So whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemnation already, because they have not believed in the name of God's only beloved Son, Jesus Christ. So, do you believe that? Do you believe what I just told you this morning? What I just told you was not words from Bessie. That's why I read them, so that I wouldn't try to say something and have it out of context. And I told you where to find it. And you can go and look on Google. One thing about Google, Google is a Christian's friend. What did the Bible say about faith? What did the Bible say about belief? And it'll give you Bible verses, just that simple. And you can pull them up and read them for yourself. But reading them is one thing. Believing them is another. because he says, if you believe in your heart and don't doubt, you shall receive. Mark 11, I think it's 24. So that's my take on it. And I'll take that word from Cynthia. That's Cynthia's word. And I believe. I do believe. I'll answer the question. Bessie, do you believe? Yes, I believe. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And I believe that what he told us is straight from the Father. And I'll say this before I get Cynthia on. It's like Jesus was slow to answer. And I often wondered, and I said this a lot of times when I'm teaching, when they brought the lady to the well, and they said, you know, we brought her to you, and she needs to be stoned, she's an adulteress, and this, that, and the other, and Jesus listened to them, and they were just rambling all up, and he kneeled down on the ground, and he was writing, and I often wondered, well, what was he writing? And my spirit said, he was listening to God. He was waiting on God to give him an answer, because when they came at him unexpectedly, he wasn't waiting on them to bring the lady. Of course, he knew, because God knows all things, but he was listening to hear what the Father was going to tell him. And when he said what the Father told him, they all had to leave. That's how powerful it was. So when you believe in Jesus and you believe in the Holy Spirit, and when you ask, you're going to get something that's so profound, you are like, wow, that is great. You're in amazement. He always makes me sound good. Cynthia, you there?
I'm here, darling. You know, Dr. Fletcher,
believing.
I struggled earlier in this, in January, December. I'm believing for something so unbelievable, and it's not even so unbelievable as it is me trusting God to give me what I've asked him to. I got the belief down. I even got the faith down. But I was struggling to trust him. And so I was in church a couple of Sundays ago at the beginning of the year. No, I think it was New Year's Eve. And that was the revelation that I got, because I always say, God, you know I believe, help me not to doubt. And so I realized that I got the belief down. I've come to believe that Jesus is the Lord and our Savior. I've come to believe that God is able to do abundantly above all that I can think or ask for. But I struggle, and that was the revelation that I got, that I don't trust God's character. And times when we are waiting and asking God for things, especially if you've come and you've accepted Christ as your Lord and Savior, you got that part down. You came to believe it. You even have the faith to believe it. But do you trust him for it? I think that's where we struggle the most. And that's what came to me in church on Christmas, on New Year's Eve. You've said a couple of things this morning that really spoke to me as to mothers and how children are confused by their behavior. And so if they're confused and can't trust you to behave in a certain way, why are you expecting them to behave in a certain way? Prime example of that, Dr. Fletcher, is that children have to trust that their parents are giving them the right instructions. But then when we go against the instructions by acting in a total opposite way of what we're instructing our children to do, then they can't trust us to tell them the right thing to do. A prime example of that is yesterday we started a new parenting class. And these two young women that was in the parenting class, they're new to the facility. I've spoken to them. They know me. I don't know them, but, you know, they all know us at the center. And so even though they've never been in our class, they know who we are based on what is said and about us. And, you know, I'm loud, and everybody knows me over there. But anyway, these two young ladies, this one young lady who was there approached me, and she asked me when the parenting class was. And yesterday she was in the class. And you asked her to, you you challenged the audience to look into the mirror. And yesterday, I challenged them to look at themselves. And one of the questions I asked them was, well, what is it that you want for your children? And, of course, the one said she wants her son to stop acting out in school. And so, you know, the Holy Spirit, he's so awesome in all his ways. He had me ask her, well, what did you end up in prison for? Why are you here? And she's been there for 5 years. And she's in prison for fighting a woman over a man. I said, well, if you can act out, certainly 11-year-old boy can act out. And whatever the circumstances is, because you are his example, so he's watching you. So if you are down for misbehaving in public, guess what? When he goes to school, he gonna misbehave in public because mommy is the prime example. He can't trust you to behave, so you're telling him to behave when you can't behave as an adult. Well, she said, "Well, I was under the influence, baby. That's an excuse." Don't give me no nonsense. You were under the influence. And then she went on to.
And he's under the influence, too.
Of her. Absolutely. Uh-huh. I said, baby, don't give me no excuses as to why you did it. Because if you expecting him to behave in a certain way, then you have to behave in a certain way. You have set the example for this baby, just like God and Jesus, our big brother Jesus. I have to throw kisses because he was the perfect example. And then we come along and God gives us children and somehow we tarnish who he is. And so it's no wonder that they don't believe and they don't come to believe in Christ because we're not demonstrating Christ-like quality. And so if you can act like this and you say you saved, why would I want to do that? You know, we as mothers influence our children every day. And then there was the other young lady. She was a stripper, and she's looking to go back to strip because she said that's where she makes her money. You have a 10-year-old, and you are going back to the pole. Baby, let me know how that's going to work for you. I said, you guys are sitting in this parenting class, and why are you here other than you have to be here because you need it before you get out? Well, I never thought about it. Well, baby, I suggest you think about it because you are here for the wrong reason if you're not here for change. If you're not here to work towards moving in the right direction, you're wasting your time because you ain't never had a class like this one about to go down.
Yeah, that's right. Got to get them into what our topic is, and that is to believe.
Yeah.
That's,
believe in something
that's
bigger than
change.
You and the challenge.
Yeah. But you know what, Cynthia?
Go ahead.
No, I didn't mean to cut a question, but I'm saying that I just want to keep us on track with the topic this morning. The fact that once they are in your class, we have seen transformation. That's their first day. But by the time they get out of there, they will have believed because I've seen you work with them. And now that I'm talking to the students in sessions, I can hear, even though they think you might be rough on them, you know, they know that I can hear the growth and they have something that they can hold on to. So you're right. They don't even know what they're in for in the next few weeks. But how many times have we had one lady said to us she was going back to the pole and now she's saying she's not? I just wanted to put that out there.
Absolutely. Because she was so dominant about her decision, and that's the way she gonna make her money. But you know, they have to believe that they're loved by God, and I say, and because they both have daddy issues. Daddy hasn't been in their life. One was 15. She got kicked out because he remarried. And according to her, he chose the wife over her, but she was freaking habit in the house. I'm like, no, boo. Well, you can't be up under somebody's roof when you're acting grown. Guess what? You got to go. Mm-hmm. You got to go. And I said, until you find forgiveness for your fathers, your children can't find forgiveness for you because you ain't there for them either. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
How about that, sis? And so it was such an emotional charge day, one of them got so angry at me. I said, I want you to get pissed off. Let me know how that works for you over there, because that's what landed you here, getting pissed off. So let me know how that works for you. Do what you do. And then the other one, she's sitting there in tears. She's sitting there in tears because they don't see anything beyond where they've been. And that is a sad commentary when you don't know God loves you and that he wants you to emulate him. And the enemy just comes in, like you said, to steal the couple of words that goes forth to give them hope. And if they're not careful, like I told them, if you're not careful and you're not here for the right reason, the enemy is going to steal what you came in here to get.
Mm-hmm. And the first thing he wants them to do is to hear what you're saying from their own perspective and not from the perspective of the truth. And see, and the truth hurts. So rather than hurting, they'd rather say, you know, she's mean, I'm not going back, and this, that, and the other. And I never forget the lady to tell us, she said, when she came back, she said, I wasn't coming back. But see, they know that we're genuine, and they know that we're speaking from the Bible. It's not something that we're making up. It's not a program that we created. You see what I'm saying? That's the difference.
Yeah.
And
once
they come in there, the Holy Spirit is there waiting on them. I mean, they're going to be touched. That's why they cry. When I see them crying, I go, okay, that ain't me. I mean, you know, I might not be the most beautiful thing on the block, but I can tell you one thing, I ain't that bad. I'm going to hurt you that you cried. So it's not
me.
So it's the Holy Spirit that touches them, because the Holy Spirit speaks to us, and then they get it, and they don't know what to do with it. And especially those who are not reading the Bible. They don't know what to do with that. They just know that you made them cry. And it's like, she made me cry, and I was so mad with her. And you can imagine what they say when they went back in there, you know. Mm-hmm. But then, I told a young lady this week, one thing you can say about Professor Oliver, she will turn the world upside down to help you achieve something if you want to achieve it. That you can count on. So,
It's just the Christ in us that we want them to be the best that they can be. And you have to just be able to go there in order to give them something to think about, because it's all about, that's why God tells us to rightly divide the word, because it gives you something to think about. And you will never come to believe in something that you don't understand. You will never come to believe in Christ if you don't understand the purpose of moving towards him.
And the thing that I also say to my clients, I don't come to you as a perfect mother or daughter. I come to you because I'm being taught a lesson. I'm being taught a lesson. And as we're being taught a lesson, God is showing us to share these lessons with the women or the people that he brings across our path. So therefore, if you don't receive it, you know, I'm not going to not give it to you because I think you won't receive it. I'm giving it to you because I have the mandate to do it because of my own lessons that I need to learn. So in order to receive something, in order for me to receive something, God said, I need you to give this to this person, give this word to this person. And when I give a word to somebody, I receive a word. You see, I receive from God another word. And so in order, it's the giving and the receiving. So they have to look at it like, you know, well, don't think we're perfect. No, we are still in the life, in the game of life, too. We're still in this heavenly kingdom university. We're still growing. But no matter where you are, that's why preachers preach. You know what I mean? Because God's got you to, you want to use you to spread the word to somebody else. And that's what we do. We minister to them. And then God has somebody minister to us. That's why we go and get ministered to, too. So it's a give and receive.
So true. And but you know, it becomes a testimony for God when they get it.
That's right.
When you know that he moves in that room when we are ministering, and we always tell them, I ain't gonna give you nothing. I can't tell you to go look up in the Bible. I'm not even going to explain it to you. Seek it for yourself. That's why he tells us to seek, so you know when people are giving you nonsense.
Right. For yourself.
Seek the word for yourself. because I ain't got the answer. Your answer is in that in the Bible. That's why we can all read the same scripture and we get something different out of it, because each person has whatever God leads us to search. He got a message in there just for you. That's why I didn't see that when I read it. And so if you want to come to believe that God is who he say he is and that you are to be a reflection of him, then you're going to have to do what the Son did. He spent that time with our Heavenly Father studying and praying and being able to be the true reflection of God, because he was about our daddy's business as early as 12 years old when he found himself in the temple and this was looking for him. When we, as mothers, when that become more important than seeking anything else in this world, then our children are going to see that, and we're going to be the true emulation and reflection of God. When you look in that mirror, you see the reflection of God.
Okay, we're going to take a break right there. We have gone over our time.
Hold on,
I'll be right back. It did. I'll be right back.
Listening to the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with your host, Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher. If you'd like to make a love offering to support the show, go to AskDrBessie.com and click on the donate button and show your support. Questions? Call 347-539-5078. Make sure to tune in every Saturday at 10 a.m. for the Mother-Daughter Bonding Network with Reverend Dr. Bessie Fletcher, better known as Dr. Bessie. See you next Saturday at 10 a.m.
Mothers and daughters, that's our show. What an exciting show. It was fast-paced, Cynthia. Lord knows that was good. I just want you to listen to this, and if you can get it, you can believe it, you can receive it. That's all he's asking. Believe in my word. Don't try to change his word. Don't try to add anything to it. Don't try to take anything away from it. Just get the word from the Bible and just read that word. And once you say, I believe it, and you really believe it in your heart, nothing can stop it. Nothing can stop it from coming unless you decide, no, Lord, I don't want it. But other than that, it's coming straight to you. Have a blessed week. The word this week is, do you believe? Just believe what Jesus said. Have a good week. Bye-bye.